Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Better get your structure, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do? All I seen was knocking blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Dallas, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Of course, the headquarters right here. I'm sitting here with my man, Mr. John Turner. See, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, BJ. Thank you.
Hey, man, you know, this is going to be a great day coming up this Saturday. Tell them what we're doing this Saturday.
This Saturday, we are retiring the first and original green machine, the Mad Dad's Mobile, that saved thousands of lives in this city and thousands of hours on the street with Mad Dads jumping out the back of it, saving lives, man. I love that thing.
Well, you know, you got any great experiences about the outreach unit?
Well, you know, my favorite thing about one of my favorite experiences, when we did that demo for a TV show we were trying to get off on the air at one time, and we went out to the TV park and we talked to that girl, and we were in the back, you know, of the meat machine with about six or seven Mad Dads, and he was playing music and stuff on our way to another, you know, life-saving event and stuff. I remember that day. It's on the internet. I look it up every once in a while.
You know, when I first got it from Alina, I want to say big ups to Alina Hospital, we got, we didn't know what to do with it. And I remember telling you, man, I just rode around the neighborhood, pulled up in front of, you know, where the brothers were selling dope. And they was like, man, who got shot? And I just say, man, y'all going to get shot if you don't stop doing all this dope around here. You know, you don't stop selling dope. So, and I had the lights on. I just pulled up. And they was like, they called the police on me. You know, police, after doing that for about four or five corner stores where the brothers was hanging out, they called the police on me. Said, man, BJ running around and scaring the hell out of us, man. And I remember that the officer pulled up and said, brother, you know, these gang members is calling the police on you. They want you to stop doing that because you're scaring them, you know. And I said, I got something here then. I've got something. Why not pull up and really do outreach in an ambulance?
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out what to really do with the outreach unit. And, you know, when we got it, it didn't have anything in it, but I wanted to figure out, and I kept trying these sound systems. I kept trying to get, you know, I had speakers hooked up. They weren't loud enough, you know, and I kept upgrading. I don't know if you remember this journey,
yeah,
you know, but I kept upgrading the sound system thing until I got it exactly how I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Took me about a year to figure it all out. I got it exactly how I wanted it. And now I can cover a whole three, four blocks.
Yeah.
You know? And one of the things the outreach unit got known for was the ability to go in the neighborhood and change it.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up, put some tape up, pull the truck up, get the grill out. We would change the neighborhood instantly.
Yeah.
And there's been many a times that, you know, you've been with me and you've seen how we can change the neighborhood.
Absolutely. I remember passing out food to the homeless, all that. Right from the green machine.
Right. And so this Saturday, we're going to be celebrating that this Saturday. We really want folks to come out and celebrate with us. We're going to be doing it from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
That's right.
We'll have some free food. You get an opportunity to check out, you know, visit the office and come see what we do here in the community. And also get an opportunity to make a contribution to Mad Dad.
Uh-huh.
Make a contribution to what we're doing, who we are, and I really would love for folks to come out. Please pass the word out. If you need more information, call 612-822-0802, 612-822-0802. And you say, well, I have a retirement event for a truck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you retire? Well, you know, it's not my time yet.
Not your time.
It's not my time yet, but it is time for the truck, and I think it's pretty neat to have a retirement for a piece of equipment that has served the community well. It's a spirit in that truck.
That's right.
You know, it's a spirit in that truck that talks about how important it is to make a difference in the community. It's been able to do that, has had that kind of impact. And John, you know, talk a little bit about why you think that truck deserves that kind of recognition.
Well, the truck deserves recognition because it was a unique part of the community. When kids would see that truck, they would just, they knew Mad Dads were in the area, they'd go crazy. They knew wherever that truck was, good things were going to happen. So kids would, you know, it was a gathering place for kids. Senior citizens loved seeing the truck. You know, people would honk when they see the truck. You know, the truck was everywhere that people needed them, you know, to be and stuff. And it was just a constant reminder that somebody's got your back. So, you know, I mean, people know that truck more than they know you. More people have seen that truck than have seen you, because you took it everywhere, you know, it was everywhere in the whole city. So it was a great way to get the message out about Mad Dads.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. That truck man has did so many events, so many fun times. And I remember sometimes when I would just pull the truck up and turn the music on, man, and just kind of watch everybody have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
There's other times I put music on and watch people cry, you know, because they were hurting from a loved one that they had lost, or they were having some issues, or there was tragedy in the community. And there's been many times where we were doing Chicago and Franklin, and we did the what you call the Amen Corner.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the Amen Corner. We were, I don't know if you remember us doing the Amen Corner, but when we were doing it, we really made a difference, an impact on Chicago and Franklin.
Mm, yes.
And I think the impact that we were able to make was that there is something positive going on around the community. We also made it possible for the kids to loosen up and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much tragedy going out there. And I remember there was a homicide once, and the homicide detective said, "Well, BJ, we didn't have a squad car available. Go get the perpetrator, go get the victim and the family, and bring them down to the police station."
Mm.
And I went down, loaded them up, and brought them down to the police station. We solved the homicide.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and back in the days when, you know, we worked really, really close to the homicide division, and we really just kind of helped them do whatever they need to get done, because we wanted to stop the killer, man, and it took us all working together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about 25 homicides that are unsolved right now, but there's about 26 that have been solved.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at about 50%. Just think if our people came together, how we could really solve them. But, and a lot of it's about people just don't want to say anything. They know who did it. You know who did it. You just let a killer go free. And what happens, John, when you let a killer go free?
He kills again.
Yeah,
and again. And again.
And he just keeps killing. And he doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why it's important for us to do the kind of work that we do, to have an outreach unit. And we're going to celebrate that on Saturday. We're going to celebrate the fact that, you know, all those parents and families that have been impacted by homicide can look at that green truck and say, man, that's the truck that was there when my son died, my daughter died, you know. That's the truck that was there to protect us. I remember them in the parade.
Yeah.
All those different things, you know. Or when we had our kids' festival, that's who provided the music. All those different things that we can talk about and say, and rallies. You know, when Black Lives Matter first started, they called Mad Dads all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they figured out their own truck and their own sound, you know.
Yeah.
But before then, because they had certain music they wanted to play, I didn't have. You know, I didn't have some of that stuff that they, and I'm old school. So they'd be like, that's cool, but we want to say, you know, F the police and all, you know, we got stuff we want to say. And there were songs that said that I didn't have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that and respect that. You know, talk about, John, when we first started, we didn't have any kind of, we had a van that somebody donated.
Green van.
We had a green van somebody donated, and we put Mad Dads on it, and we could only seat about 4 or 5 people, and that was all we had anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a whole lot anyway. And we go up and down Lake Street and Fourth Avenue and Chicago at 38th. And
yeah.
At the time, we go down here where the bar used to be, right here on, what was that, Lake Street and where McDonald's is.
By Kmart?
Not there, where McDonald's is, and they used that bar right off the freeway where people
don't. Oh. So, yeah, that bar.
Yeah, until they closed it down.
Yes, well, it needed to be closed down.
Yeah, there was stuff happening there. And so that was our territory. That's where we went. And in 1998, that we just stayed on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do much over north just because
no.
We only had so much time.
There was a lot to do over south then.
Right.
There was a lot to do.
It was a lot of work. And if we'd have had the outreach unit then, we could have done a lot more, but we just had foot. We would go to a place, get out the van, and just actually get out and talk and do patrol. And now we can go multiple places and do multiple areas, you know, because we have the truck, and it enables us to do that. So I think that's a great thing that we have that opportunity. You know, there's nobody else really that has done what we've done with the ambulance.
No.
And what do you think about that, John?
Well, it just shows that, you know, organizations that are community-based have to get creative. And you can use, if you're working for God, first off, you can use anything. You understand? Somebody gives you something. See, that was God-ordained that, you know, you got the ambulance, you know. Because at first you didn't know what to do with it until you thought about it and said, boom, there you went. And after that, everywhere. You got sponsors all over it, you know. A bunch of people sponsored the Green Machine. And it's become, like I said, a historic piece of crime prevention and saving families in our neighborhood. So it's all good.
And, you know, the other piece about it, John, is that, you know, other people haven't tried it because the people that have tried it end up asking me how to do it. And you know, your haters, they don't want to ask you nothing. They just want,
yeah.
Well, some people have got an ambulance, and they put some little dinky speakers on it or whatever, and, you know, and it just didn't have the same focus. And when we show up, we make so much noise. Once I hook the speakers up, we tear it up. And it's not that complicated to do it. It just takes some designing, and you have to figure out how to do it. And with the new ambulance, I haven't put those side bars on there because it's got design on it now, so it's not.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of hard for me to do that. So the old ambulance has a lot of features that the new ambulance doesn't quite have yet. But the main thing is, though, it's a newer one. It runs a little bit nicer, and it's better on gas, and we needed to upgrade. So we'll upgrade again, too, coming up in the near future. We'll make something happen. And it's really about being equipped to make a difference in the community. We know our community is suffering right now. I was just meeting about, you know, pharmaceutical robberies are up. I was just talking to somebody that works in the robbery division. People can't afford heroin, but they can't get prescriptions anymore because they're trying to decline the amount of people on opioids. There's a movement to reduce that.
Because
we got all these zombies running around nodding all the time everywhere, and they get in it legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you got the heroin coming in from Mexico, and it's cheap, and people are really getting high for that. And so if they can't get their pills now, they're going to heroin. We've had, just a weekend before last, 3 overdoses in the Native American community. There's almost an overdose every day or every other day in the Native American community. Nobody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the heroin is getting to those individuals, and there's probably not a lot of noise about it because of the color of our skin.
Mm.
You know, it's not a race thing, but when white people have tragedies, money goes that way.
Yeah.
And it seems to be when we have tragedies, it's, you know, we put all the power plants in the hood, we put all the poison, all the gas lines, all the things that are toxic. Going to hood. We just did a research and showed that where the power grids were in the hood, and all over the United States, and all these young people had cancer from these power grids that were placed strategically in the hood. So it didn't affect people in the suburbs. They You know, just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of chance do you have to be successful like that, John?
Well, yeah, you know, when people don't have a voice, that's when bullies run over them, you know. And it says in the Bible that that which you do to the least of me, you do unto me, you know. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the people that would actually do that and profit from other people giving people misery.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about heroin is the reason why people overdose is they never know how strong it is. You know, sometimes you get heroin, and I used to, you know, shoot heroin. I used to, you know, shoot cocaine. And I never knew how strong it was. So, you know, if you were sensible about it, you'd buy like a gram of it and you take a certain amount and you would test it. But people get so greedy or don't have enough money, they'll buy a 20-cent package, $25 package, and they'll shoot it all. And, you know, if it's a heart stopper, we call them, it'll kill you.
Right.
You know, or if it's got fentanyl or something else in it, you
mm-hmm.
know, because these drug dealers, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care, man. They're just trying to make a dime. So if people are shooting that. And the pharmaceutical stuff, actually, you know exactly what you're getting. If you get a number 30 Percocet, you know exactly what it is, you know. And there's a return of what we used to call the drugstore cowboys. And these were guys and that just robbed pharmacies. Yeah, they just robbed pharmacies because if you know what you are going after in the pharmacy, and most pharmacies don't have armed guards, you know, you can get enough drugs to make a whole lot of money and to keep yourself high for a long time. And pharmaceutical drugs are much more pure, and like I said, you know exactly what you're getting. So we have an epidemic going. But if the people would stop making such high-powered drugs like fentanyl and all that kind of stuff, it wouldn't be so attractive. And guess what? They make the drugs addicting so that you keep taking them, okay? They make them addicting so that you keep taking them because they have pain pills that don't get you high, but they're not popular. They have pain pills that do not get you high, but they're not popular. You know, and as human beings, we go to the hospital, they give us the stuff that gets us high. So all of a sudden, you leave the hospital, you want the pain to go away, and you want to be high. So there's a problem there, and you know, there's more than one culprit in that.
Yeah, and that's a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
And the doctors.
The health care, that's what we're fighting over today.
Right.
How expensive it is, you know. It's expensive because the people are making money. They just sent a dude to jail that was artificially ramping up the prices on purpose. They finally sent one of them to jail, you know. But there's about 10,000 of them.
And, you know, what's funny, people like that get like 2 years, 20 months.
They don't make 20, 30 million.
But you do something small and petty, you know, and you get 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, you get warehoused.
Mm-hmm.
You get locked down. You get bamboozled. You get all jacked up. You know, question for you, John. You know, we don't have a chance with the pharmaceutical companies. Last night I was in a meeting, and they said they don't think the pharmaceutical companies are paying anybody to, you know, giving any kickbacks or doing any of that.
Yeah.
But why is doctors so excited about, does it hurt? Just tell me it hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it can hurt that. Well, here, we'll give you a script. Take. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I immediately got, I forget what, I know it was a powerful drug, but I immediately got it when I fell and hurt something. Mm-hmm. They gave it to me, right? And I took one, and it was such a weird feeling. It wasn't a high. I just felt weird, and my stomach felt weird. I said, this is something I don't want.
Mm.
I don't want to get used to this, and I don't even want to like this. And I can see how it happens because you can feel the transformation.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not used to taking pain pills, you know, I'm not used to taking pain pills. So I can feel that transformation. There's kickbacks. Doctors are getting kicked back. Pharmaceutical companies know what they're doing. They're making tons of money.
Yes.
You know, and they do research, and they research us to death. They, you know, they put out ads to you. You want to quit smoking? Come do research for $1,000. Well, that's not going to be nothing compared to what they make off that pill.
Mm-hmm.
Once they find out that either makes you feel better or worse, they just need to know what it does to you
mm-hmm.
so they can get it right.
Well, they, even when they know what it does to you, Well, the reason why they have to do research is because they demand that you do research. So they don't care what the results of the research is. They're going to say, you'll see an advertising on TV that says, okay, taking this, and they'll talk real fast. Might give you whooping cough, a bleeding eye, a bleeding ulcer and stuff. You might walk backwards for 3 months, but they'll consult your doctor. They say it real fast. So there's about 10 things that could happen. You know, blurred vision and stuff, loss of sight. And we still take it.
We still take it.
And when you get drugs, you'll notice that they'll give you a pamphlet with them.
Right, you don't
you
read
don't
it.
You don't read it. Yeah.
You just take the drug.
And people walk right in the pharmacy, open the bottle, just take one, throw the pamphlet in the garbage.
Right.
Don't know what the side effect. Then they ask the doctor next week, my neck, I can't move my neck. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, man. We have something that we can do about it ourselves as human beings.
That's right.
Stop letting the doctors do that to us.
Because they will do it to us. And I remember when I went to the hospital and they gave me some pills to take, and my nose just kept running.
Yep.
And I couldn't live like that. I stopped taking the pill, figured out which one it was, and I stopped taking it. I'd rather my nose not run than whatever it was doing for the effect. It didn't make sense to me. You're making my nose run, but you're doing something else, and it's all kind of, you know, when you're in public, your nose can't be running all the time. You know, it just ain't normal for you to kind of catch it dripping when you're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Are you doing a speech? You can't have a napkin all the time. That looks crazy.
That does.
So just think of what other people go through with the side effects they go through with their medicine, and they continue to go through it, which is not fair for them. It's not fair for the community. We're going to go back to the mobile outreach unit. Man, I tell you, that machine has been all over, and it has done so much, not in just Minneapolis, but in St. Paul, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center. You know, it's been everywhere. There's not been a corner of the city or the state where that outreach unit hasn't been. And it rallies at the Capitol. It's done so much stuff. And on Saturday, we're just going to, you know, we're going to do a retirement party for the truck to recognize all the good work is done and all the good things that have happened because of that. And I think that's the key for us, to look at that and see what next for Mad Dad. Sign up to be a part. Sign up to support. Sign up to get involved and sign up to take us to our next level. We're going to the next level. We're excited about it, man. We're so excited. John, you're one of the few people that was there from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you thought, but I wasn't sure what we were doing. I knew we were going to hit the block. What did you think from the very beginning when you seen Mad Dad started from the very first street outreach at Park Avenue Church to our very first event? What did you think about Mad Dad?
Well, I loved the concept. I didn't think it would work because I come from gang backgrounds, and I'm saying, boy, we got these gangs out here, man. It's going to be a little dangerous and all that. But you were willing to do it, and actually you had did another group before that, Black on Black Love or something.
Yeah.
And you did that for a minute. Then you got trained by Mad Dads and then really ramped it up, you know, and really did your thing. But, yeah, it was like, it was a little scary. It was, you know, I didn't think that it could make the difference that it is made, but often the visionary gets it and everybody else just says, okay, maybe, you know, well, you know, we don't see it quite then and stuff. We see it now and stuff. So you had a great vision and you made it work.
Well, you know, I was working for Archie Givens first.
That's right.
And I would come in and work on the weekends and nights. And even I come in, this is the original Mad, this little cubicle, which you say is about a 2x, what is it? What size would you say?
Smaller than a penitentiary cell.
Smaller than a penitentiary cell. It's a space. This is the space that Mad Dad started in. Mm-hmm. There was other stuff. There was an after-school program here. There was other people here. There was all kind of stuff going on here. But this is where I came. This is where I did the work for Mad Dad.
Yeah.
And then eventually we did the Center for Fathering in the conference room.
Mm-hmm.
That was where our first Center for Fathering meeting was.
Yeah.
Used to meet there every Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday. And we started out with about five fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Five or six. Wasn't that many?
Yeah, small group.
And By 2016, we had grown to over we had grown to over 90 families a week.
Mm-hmm.
And 90 families a week is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a record breaking, right, John?
Yeah, it was over actually 2,000 individual.
We want you to call in Blog Talk Radio.
Come in a month.
The call in number is 347-215-9262. Call in and talk about how the Green Machine, the outreach unit, has an impact on your life. Mother Deb's on the phone. I'm hoping she'll call in at 347-215-9262. And I know she's got some stories to tell about the outreach unit and what we've done, because she's been out there with us a lot. You remember Mother Deb, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
Mother Deb's getting ready to call in. Right, Mother Deb? Okay. So, you know, I think, John, that there's been so many times that we have been able to touch somebody's life,
mm-hmm,
because we wanted to change the hearts of the fathers.
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, I have to put a disclaimer. I was a summertime mad dad. VJ knew when it got cold, I was sort of done. I'm from Selma, Alabama, so being out up and down Lake Street in the middle of winter didn't appeal to me. But VJ had some very loyal people that went out with him. Sandy and Joe, they were always there, man. You know, I remember that, you know, and stuff. And I gave big ups to you guys because you guys kept it going all year round.
Well, we got Mother Deb on the phone, and we want to welcome her. Mother Deb, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Mother Deb?
Yes. Oh,
you there?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You know, we're talking, we got about 3 minutes left. We're talking about the impact that the green truck has had on the community and on people's lives, and you've been a part of riding in that green truck many a days. What impact have you seen it have on the community?
Well, it's had a great impact. I know I've been out there with you and the outreach team, going to the hospital, dropping off presents to those who were in the hospital, stuffed animals to children. We did a drive-by through the neighborhood, just dropping off a lot of toys and stuffed animals to kids. They didn't even know we were coming through. And you took photos of them. It was fantastic. We touched a lot of lives, taking kids to the camps and just taking the kids all over. And I know those kids were very excited to go places that they'd never been before. And the green truck did all of that.
Amen.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool about that is that, you know, there's really nothing like it. Now, on Saturday, we're going to have a celebration. We want you to come through and just celebrate from 1 to 3 and celebrate the fact that, you know, the work that you've done with the outreach unit, the work that you've done in the community. We'd love for you to come through and celebrate with us.
Okay. I'd love to do that. I'm here now at the office in the parking lot, but I'd love to do that, and I want to hear more about that and where we're going to be at and all of that.
Okay, that sounds great. You listen to Blog Talk Radio. That's Mother Deb. Thanks a lot, Mother Deb. We love you so much. You listen to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. We want to say congratulations and thanks to Florida. Florida, you had just had some terrible weather up there, man. We're glad that you made it through. Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, the headquarters, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Last words to talk, John Turner C.
Man, I love the Green Machine. Let's retire it in style and class.
So y'all come on out Saturday from noon to 3. We're going to be out here with some food. 11 to 3, we'll be out here with food, festivities. Come see the office, celebrate what we're doing. Make a contribution to Mad Dads. Get involved and be empowered by us. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was knocking blue. Soldiers showing love.